BBC World Service. I'm Shilpa Kannan, and you join me here in India at this massive, rather chaotic railway station to begin a documentary, part of Freedom 2014 season, all about a scandal that affects me and every one of my fellow Indians, one that could impact on our very democracy. I've come here to meet a man who's going to introduce me to what's going on. In fact, he's so keen to tell me his story that he's travelled on an overnight train.
207.
Hello. Hi, PK. Hi. Shilpa from the BBC. Hi.
Sir PK Ramarao.
Yeah. So PK Ramarao, you were a candidate standing for election in Andhra Pradesh. And you were involved in an interesting deal with the local press.
Yes. My campaign was not being covered. So I asked one of the chief of the local newspapers, and then he revealed to my astonishment that your campaign is not being covered because you did not pay us any money. And unless I was prepared to pay 3 lakhs, I was not going to be covered at all.
So $6,000.
$6,000.
Were you ready to pay that kind of stuff?
No. My budget did not permit, but somehow I managed to squeeze in 50,000 rupees.
That's about $1,000.
$1,000 for a half page for 3 days.
So it was almost like you bought an advertisement for yourself.
But it was not published like an advertisement. It was published like news. This is a new phenomenon, especially during the elections. So deliberately the voters were being misled.
As press scandals go, India's paid news ranks high. There've been hundreds of cases of celebrities, politicians and businessmen paying for beneficial coverage dressed up as real news. In this program, Press for Sale, I'm on the trail of paid news, talking to the people who stand accused of nothing less than endangering the world's biggest democracy, and asking, in this election year, is there any chance of tackling the problem? The story of paid news begins here. About 10 years ago, these printing presses were at the heart of a radical innovation in Indian newspapers. They belonged to BCCL, India's biggest media house, owner of such titles as The Times of India and Navbharat Times. And to keep these printing presses busy, the company had an idea.
What came to the fore was something called MediaNet. The idea was to use editorial space and charge for it, particularly in their supplements, particularly for entertainment, where people could have their photographs printed, an event written about, and actually pay money for it. They now put it on their masthead that the supplement is advertorial. This is a new term for an advertisement that's written up like news.
I'm with Ms. Neerja Chaudhary, who's a political commentator in Delhi. She's been watching the news space quite closely for many years. And there are thousands of copies flying off these big rollers now. So these supplements are advertorials, as you call it.
They say almost 80% are advertorials. Now this became very controversial. Others have followed it, other papers have also followed it. And those payments have become much more institutionalized. And we know of packages being offered for doing, you know, softer coverage, favorable coverage, but we don't know which is what. This is the problem with it.
My name is Ravi Dhariwal, the CEO of Bennett Coleman and Company of the Times Group. MediaNet is an important program for us. But there's another innovation I'd like to talk to you about, which is far bigger. It is what we call brand capital. We go to advertisers and tell them, it doesn't matter if you don't have cash to pay us today. We'll take equity in your company. So it is advertising against equity.
So and you become part owner?
We become part owners of that company. And we have over 400 companies and investment base of almost $700-800 million.
But doesn't that represent a conflict of interest? Because if you are part owner in a company, would you ever write negatively about that company?
There is a theoretical conflict of interest, but in reality, there is no conflict at all. Our editors are absolutely free to write whatever they want to.
MediaNet and Brand Capital are entirely legitimate businesses. but some see them as blurring the lines between editorial and advertising. And that's raised eyebrows. In fact, BCCL's own Times of India was criticized over one story. It emerged in rural Maharashtra, deep in India's interior, and it concerned the local staple, cotton. We're in the town of Yavatmal, and right in the town center, the traders will auction this season's harvest. It's hot, dusty, and fairly quiet. Everyone just sitting around in the midday sun. But I think the action's about to begin soon. The auction's happening around the trucks, and farmers are throwing down samples of cotton. And as the bidding happens, it's quite competitive actually. And it's sold to the highest bidder.
Per quintal rate, 5,000.
So they managed about 5,000 rupees for a quintal of cotton. So that's good?
Not good rate.
Farmer's not happy?
Not happy.
It's hardly surprising. Poor harvests and high costs have left many farmers with heavy debts. But if you'd read a report in the local edition of the Times a few years ago, you'd be forgiven for thinking otherwise. The article, written by the newspaper's own reporters, claimed farmers were getting rich by planting a certain brand of genetically modified cotton. It showed photographs of lush green farms and people who claimed to be prosperous farmers. Standing in the middle of a parched field, farmer activist Mohan Jadhav told me more.
Bhamraja, yeh jo gaon hai, is gaon ke baare mein jo bhi kuch bola gaya, ये सब झूठ है. कॉटन को यानी झाड़ को सोना उग रहा है, ये सब झूठ बात है.
He says the newspaper claimed that we were reaping gold here, but it's very far from the truth.
ये कंपनी वालों ने उनका खुद का यानी जाहिरात करने के लिए, उनका जो बीज है वो जाने के लिए उन्होंने इस टाइप का गलत टाइप का यानी जाहिरात किया और सोना उग रहा है ऐसा बोलकर किसानों को लुभाया.
He says it's a big nexus between corporates and media houses. They wanted to sell these seeds to us, so they printed something in a newspaper, and then so many farmers in this region went out there to buy those seeds, thinking they will also be making gold. There's another farmer just across. Let's go and see what he's got to say. Sunil ji, ek minute, aap humse baat kar sakte hain?
Padhne ke baad humko aisa laga, karke dekha humne, lekin wo kuch humko ye nahi hoga.
When I read it, I was taken in too. I rushed out and met the seed agent and switched all my crops to GM crops.
आणि याच्यात मेहनत केली, लागत केली, पैसा खूप लागला, खर्च खूप लागला, उत्पादन खूप कमी झालं आणि तो कर्जबाजारी झाला, त्यामुळे त्याने तो आत्महत्या करायला लागला.
He says once we planted it, we realized it needs a lot more water, a lot more pesticide, a lot more fertilizer, and yet the harvest wasn't as much as we expected. Many of them were already in debt and many of them took their own lives. The article included a line saying the reporter's visit to Maharashtra was sponsored by the seed company. It seems that detail was lost on many of the locals. But that's not the end of the story.
3 years later, the very same full page appears again, this time as a paid-for advertisement.
Veteran journalist P. Sainath. He's investigated the cotton farmer's story for a rival newspaper, The Hindu.
The second time it appears exactly the same. It's a facsimile of the first one. And it appears at the time of the Biotech Regulatory Authority Bill, which is to be discussed in Parliament. Now, after that story, this sort of directly obnoxious stuff sort of went a little underground. But in other areas, it's gone up massively. And the Indian media today are doing this in a multiplicity of ways. Major newspapers across this country are doing propaganda and puff. The reader is deceived by something dressed up as news, which is not news.
The Times of India says it made an error in republishing the cotton story, and it's apologized. The seed company says the original article was a genuine story and not an ad. Meanwhile, a parliamentary committee which visited the region found that farmers were not benefiting from the seeds, while farmers testified that the article's claims about the region were untrue. The trend towards charging for placing favorable news stories seems to have really taken off in recent years all across India. And there is one former journalist who says he has got documentary evidence that he was involved in publishing stories for cash. He lives several hours' drive away from Delhi, far out into the Indian countryside. That's where I'm headed right now. You've got a whole diary full of documents? What is this?
All these are the receipts. Here the finance officer.
For more than 8 years, Rakesh Sharma was chief political reporter on a major Hindi newspaper. He claims he was given targets of up to 10 times his salary for raising money by selling news coverage. This appears to be quite detailed, and so you have basically transactions from with dates and size.
Size.
What is this size?
Eight by eight size.
So this means you gave an 8-inch by 8-inch column space inside the newspaper. So this is an account of this?
$200.
$200 for it?
Yeah.
So were these just adverts or were they articles about these people?
Articles. News items.
None of these were advertisements?
No. It was news items.
And this is how you kept your books?
Yeah. I have to maintain the record.
So just here, I'm looking at 3rd May.
3rd May.
And you had 8 transactions.
Yes.
But this is quite a lot. You almost covered a whole page of a newspaper.
Yeah.
So that was a good earnings day then. What's remarkable about this story is that it involves someone who's not only pointing the finger at someone else, but admits flouting the rules himself. Rakesh says it was when people started thinking he was making money from their payments that he became concerned. My reputation was getting ruined, he says. Later, he resigned. Rakesh Sharma used to work for Dainik Jagaran. It's one of the world's largest newspapers. The headquarters is here in central Delhi, in a building where lots of other regional newspapers have their offices. So I have come to see Sanjay Gupta, the owner and editor, to see what he makes of the case.
I don't even know one Rakesh Sharma. I don't know when he worked, which department he worked for, which sub-office he worked for.
He says he was given fixed target for income, which was 10x his salary.
All stringers in my newspapers get a target to generate advertising, but that does not mean the news that they will do is paid for. The stringer assists the advertising person of the district to go and get advertising, but that doesn't mean paid news. They're two very separate towns.
So increasingly the journalist is also the advertising or ad sales person in
that
town?
He's facilitating the generation of revenue from that district.
But are you worried that this would influence his reportage and it would color his reports from the area?
No. It's small coverage, probably half a page in a far-flung edition. And they basically do only community reporting over there.
But surely if a person, even in a small community, if say the village head gives the most amount of money for advertising in that village, the reporter would think twice about reporting about him if there was a negative story. Surely that would play on his mind at least.
So to say that a person gets biased because he generates advertising or helps in generating advertising is wrong. That's being too judgmental.
It's early in the morning and thousands of newspapers arrive here in central Delhi, ready for delivery, often by bicycle. There's plenty of action, as you can hear. India's printed newspapers still enjoy enormous circulation thanks to rising literacy and relatively limited internet use. So what's published in newspapers really matters, and all the more so in an election year.
It is a huge, huge problem, and I use the word huge twice deliberately for stress. It has now spread to the extent that it is difficult to believe anything one reads in the electoral campaigns.
Jagdeep Chokar is head of the Association of Democratic Reform and has carried out a study of election spending. He says spending patterns suggest that a lot of money goes unaccounted for. and he believes much of it is spent on bogus media coverage.
In 2009 parliamentary elections, we analyzed the expenditure of 6,753 candidates. There is a limit that one can spend. Only four declared that they had spent more than the limit. 6,719 said they spent only about half the limit. Now, on the other hand, at every election, there's a demand to increase the limit. If 99.9% of the people spend half the limit, I don't see any reason to increase the limit. So this is an indication of the widespread nature of the phenomenon. You see, a lot of undeclared expenses are done on things which are not allowed.
It's being spent on illegal activities like paid media. So that means there are a lot of politicians actually out there paying for coverage.
I would say pretty close to all of them.
But tackling paid news is fraught with difficulties. India's election watchdog, the Election Commission, says there have been more than 1,400 cases in 4 years. It usually detects them by estimating what any suspect articles might have cost and comparing that amount with a politician's declared election spending. If there's a discrepancy, it can censure the candidate, but only for exceeding his expenses, not for misleading voters. And in any case, how do you prove an article was purchased in the first place? In last December's Delhi elections, the commission published a list of candidates who it said were guilty. One of them was Sushil Gupta. I caught up with Sushil as he was giving a pep talk to some party workers. He wants to fight the seat again. And he's angry at what he insists was a false indictment.
They had me guilty. I requested them twice in writing that this is not my fault. If a famous person visits anywhere, some local newspaper must cover them. I have not paid a single penny to any of the newspaper, but they want to sell their newspaper. How I can stop them?
They did it on their own. You didn't ask them to do it. Then how do you account for the fact that the Election Commission found you guilty of it?
The Election Commission check all the newspaper every day. And to whom they think it is paid, they put allegation. That's all.
You think they were wrong?
Absolutely wrong.
It's largely just gathering circumstantial evidence, isn't it?
Actually, there comes the problem.
Chief Election Commissioner H.S. Brahma. What your team does is actually just scrutinize election expenses and compare them with the cost of advertisements. But what if it's regular news coverage? How would you actually find out?
In major cases, for example, if the similar news appears repeatedly in large number of papers with minimal change, then one can easily notice that this is a paid news, the money has been paid. But yes, it may not be always possible 100% to establish truly that this particular type of news has been organized or paid by some party or candidate. Yes, there are difficulties.
What's more, paid news is not even an offense in India. Last May, a parliamentary committee did suggest legislation against it, with penalties of up to 6 months in prison. But even as campaigning for the upcoming national election heats up, this remains just a draft bill. Meanwhile, those charged with maintaining journalistic standards have also been criticized for inaction. The Press Council of India declined our request for an interview. But we did manage to speak to Paranjoy Guha Takurta, co-author of the Council's 2010 report, Into Paid News. He says it was subsequently watered down.
We named names. We gave specific instances of articles in specific newspapers, the dates, the pages. But there was quite a debate within the Council. And finally, the version of the report that was given to the government was a short report and no names were named. And therefore, there was no question of shaming anybody. The Press Council needs to be given some teeth.
While the authorities consider their options, India's innovative media world is not standing still. Paying for news is one thing. Once that line's been crossed, The next level is owning the news yourself. This is the studios of Vasanth TV, one of the news channels in Tamil Nadu in southern India. In this state, just like this channel, every other TV station is outrightly owned by parties, individual politicians or people directly connected to them. I've come here to watch the evening news go out. Hello.
Hello, Vijay.
Hi, Shilpa. Thank you so much for seeing us. What time is your bulletin? Vijay Vasant is an actor, a businessman and a member of the Congress Party. He and his father run the channel and they're cheerfully candid about its political objectives.
We promote Congress a lot. We do all the live telecasts and a lot of interviews, and it's, elections are coming up, so it's more geared up.
When you cover other political parties, how long would the coverage be?
It depends upon the news. One party in their channel, they say what they've done is the best. And another channel says, like, no, what they've done is wrong.
So the same news story would have a different shade depending on which channel you actually watch.
Yeah.
So which shade would it have in your channel?
For our party, for Congress party, it'll be on the positive side. So others, it'll be like balancing.
Balancing or negative?
I won't say negative. If it's good things, we appreciate it. And if it's very good things, we keep quiet.
So that's the headlines going on. So far there's been one Congress, two Congress, three Congress, four Congress, five Congress headlines before they've moved on into the sports news.
It is also a propaganda.
Mr. Vasanth Sr. turned out to be, if anything, even more committed to the Congress party than his son.
Any political party must have a propaganda wing. Propaganda is most important for a party.
So do you also dissuade voters from voting for other political
parties? Yes. That is my aim. So you must cast their votes to Congress.
Ahead of the elections, it'll be crucial then.
Yes, 100%. We can highlight our candidates.
Do you think voters will be influenced?
100%.
It's a really hot and sticky day in Chennai. I've come to this slum in the heart of the city. It's really odd. It's just off the main road, but there are suddenly these rows and rows of tiny shacks. As you can possibly hear, we are at the community water pump, where a group of women have gathered and lots of children milling around, helping their mums collect the water. Now, everyone in this slum has been given a free television set by politicians. So I'm going to ask these women what their viewing habits are and whether they really believe what they watch. What do you think about the news channels that you watch? They all seem to think that the channels here are unbiased, they're credible, and pretty much all of them show us good stories. So we're just going along with this woman inside her hut to see the TV. It's really tiny little houses, and we're just entering this hut. Watch your head. Yeah. Oh, here's your TV set. Why do you think you were given a TV set?
TV எல்லாருக்கும் அலவன்ஸ் பண்ணதுனால தான் மேடம் கொடுத்தாங்க. வேற எதுக்கும் நம்மளுக்கு தெரியாது. அவர் எல்லாருக்கும் பொதுவாக டிவி தரேன்னு சொல்லியிருந்தாரு. அதை வச்சு தான் நாங்கள் வாங்கிட்டோம்.
I'm not sure why, she says, but what's the harm? The political leader wants us all to watch TV, so what's the big deal?
Political TV is spreading across India. The millions who can't read newspapers are becoming fair game for rich men and women with political ambitions.
Do you ever watch Vasanth TV? Do you know that it's owned by a party member?
Paper padikira news illa. TV la endha program podranga nalladhu kettadhu news la poduvanga. Adha pathi paathu therinjikkuva avladhaan.
She insists it's not really propaganda. She wants to watch all the news channels, and because she's illiterate, she doesn't really have a choice. 800 million Indians are about to make their choices in this year's general election. Most of them are more like these people than the educated elite who might see through paid news. Those who buy the newspapers will read bogus articles, whether they know it or not. For those who can't read, there's television.
Either way, as political and commercial interests jostle for media space, it's far from certain that Indians can trust the facts put before them. As Jagdeep Chokar and veteran reporter P. Sainath both suggest, all over India, the business of news risks killing the profession of impartial journalism.
There is no greater damage to democracy. Undoing the free will of the electorate has not been fully appreciated by enough people. Unfortunately, the political class who appreciate it, they don't want to do anything about it.
The newspapers and the media are too deeply invested to ever tell you the truth.
So it just confuses the reader.
It deceives the reader. This is my fundamental conclusion. The Indian media today have a structural compulsion to lie. Because when there's so much to be made by doing propaganda and marketing, when there's so much to be made by doing fake journalism, why do real journalism?
That's all from me, Shilpa Kannan. Press for Sale was produced by Mike Gallagher. And to listen to more programs in the Freedom 2014 season, go to our website bbc.com/freedom2014.